All right. So, 1 Samuel chapter number 23. The title of the sermon this morning is Snitchcraft, the Art of Dime Dropping. Snitchcraft, the Art of Dime Dropping. Yeah, I didn't bother looking up to see in the dictionary if the word snitchcraft appears. I just made this up a few weeks ago. I wrote it down on my little preaching calendar. I was like, all right, I got to go with this because there's just too many stories and too much in the Bible on this subject. We got to get this thing going. So basically what the sermon's about is how to recognize a snitch, understanding how and why why they operate, you know, because let's face it, we've all dealt with them. And I know what you're thinking, you know, well, what about somebody like maybe like Mordecai, right? You know, he was a snitch. He did, you know, he told on people that had a plot to kill the king. Well, there's a big difference between somebody like Mordecai and somebody like Judas, somebody like Mordecai versus somebody like Saul, right? And we're going to see what that is as we go through this morning. So again, snitchcraft, the art of dime dropping. Because look, if you know somebody who's a habitual snitch, a rat, these people, man, I'll tell you what, they have it down to a science. Like they live by this certain code. They do things a certain way, and it's an art, man. The lengths that they'll go to tell on somebody, to set someone up to tell on them, are really impressive when you boil this thing down. So we're going to start off here looking at 1 Samuel 23, and we just read the chapter, but we're going to pick it up here in verse 15. And I want you just to notice the difference here. Think about what's going on here. We have David, and what's David doing right now? He's running for his life. Why? Because there's a bounty on his head. Now the question now is what Saul is doing to David, is that right? And no, it's not right. It's not right at all. So let's pick this up in verse 15. It says, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Obviously, Jonathan, Saul's son, is nowhere near, you know, the depraved level that his father is. You know, he's actually going out to the woods to help David and to strengthen his hand in God. You know, you would think if anybody had, you know, maybe a platform to become envious, it would be Jonathan, because he was probably the same age as David. They were best friends. And Jonathan was okay with being second in command. He was okay with him and David's plans. You know, David, you're going to be the king because we know that's what God has already set up. That's what he's already put into place. You know, and he was okay with that. But Saul wasn't. Right? Saul was envious. And that's something you need to understand, is that a snitch is heavily motivated by destroying other people, by just because they're lazy. You know, they don't want to put in the work, right? I mean, David put in the work from a young age to build himself up to a godly person. You know, he was a man after God's own heart. And you know what? That takes work. And there are some people that see that it takes work, and they just want to take the easy route. They just want to take the shortcut. And one of the ways they go about doing that is by snitching, by telling on people. Look at verse 17. It says, and he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. And thank God that Jonathan never told on him. He was obviously a true friend. These are the types of people that are lacking in the world today. You know, somebody who's loyal, somebody who's going to be there for you and strengthen your hand in God. You know, and thank God that you're a church that's like Jonathan, that was strengthening each other. You guys, you know, are always edifying one another and out evangelizing the community. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. But unfortunately today, one thing that I've noticed is going on that's increased in the world today is this habitual idea of just snitching on other people, just telling on people, tattletaling, and not because they're trying to save the innocent, not because they're trying to do anything that's good, but because they want to elevate themselves, right? Everybody's out for themselves. The Bible tells us that men in the last days will become, what, covetous, boasters, right? Basically self-centered individuals. And you know what? A byproduct of that is going to be people tattletaling, telling on you. So, point number one. I've got 3 points this morning. Point number one is this. Snitches are often very observant and nosy people. So you say, how can I recognize a snitch? Because sometimes you may suspect somebody, but you're not really sure. You know, you're at work and all of a sudden the boss comes up to you and starts, you know, saying, hey, I heard you said this, 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 and this. What's going on here? And now you got to figure out, okay, who is it? Who's the guy that's dropping the dime on me? Who's been And it's usually the person that's the closest to you that you don't really know that well outside of work, okay? These people are very nosy. And I want you to see this here with the Ziphites. Look at verse 19. It says, "Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon?" Now, if you're a Jamaican, you would say Jeshimon. But if you're Alexander Scorby, you say Jeshimon. I looked that up. But notice here what the Ziphites say. "Then came the Ziphites to Saul," right? And look what they say. They say, "Doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds?" So it's not like they just found out that David was hiding in the woods. They've obviously known this for some time based off of the question that they put forth to Saul. They're like, "Don't you know, Saul? Right? David's hiding in the woods here." So they had the information and they probably figure, okay, we're going to wait for the right opportunity. We're going to wait till Saul is ready, till he's super angry, till the perfect time. And we'll go up to him and we'll say, "Hey, we know where David is at." Now, what does that say about the Ziphites? They're all a bunch of dirtbags. Yeah. I mean, look, the kingdom at this time, most people know that Saul is in the wrong. Yeah. He's already been rebuked by Samuel. He's already been rebuked by God. He's already gotten himself into a whole host of trouble. The Ziphites, in my opinion, I bet they already know this, right? But do they care? And the answer is no. What do they care about? They only care about themselves, and that is it. But notice here that they have already taken knowledge that David was in the wood. And this is something that I've noticed that snitches do. Every time they get exposed, if you think back, you know, all the interactions that you've had with that person, one thing you're going to find is that they probably asked you question after question. They've been paying attention to you, or they've gone around to other people in your little circle and have asked details about you. That's what they do. So you're new to a job or something like that, you guys, you need to be careful. People coming up to you and just instantly wanting to get to know you. Now, it is natural, right? You know, you start a new job, people kind of want to know who they're working with. I understand that. And I'm not saying to become paranoid, but just put it into the back of your mind that in most places of employment, there's always going to be a snitch. There's always going to be those people that don't want to put in the hard work to rise up through the ranks. And instead, what they would rather do is cut you down low. And one of the things, one of the attributes of these people is that they are very observant and very nosy about your business. Now look at verse 20. It says, "Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." So what are they doing here? They took the knowledge that David was in the wood, and they're presenting that information, right, to elevate themselves. And they're saying, "Hey, don't worry, we will save you. You know, we're the ones that are, you'll come into our hand, we'll pass them on to your hand, and then problem solved. All thanks to the Ziphs, right? The Ziphites, we're your men, we're the right people for you." Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 26. And, you know, this also reminds me, before, if you've read 1 Samuel before, you may have remembered a guy called Doeg the Edomite, yeah, right? And I preached a sermon a long time ago called Doeg the Dime Dropper, and because that's really what he is. And if you're not familiar with the story, David, obviously, on the run, you know, running from King Saul, he runs in, he runs into some priests, and, you know, he's asking for some provision, get some food. He takes the showbread, you know the story, Jesus talked about it. And one of the people that was there while David was asking for provision, trying to get his weaponry and stuff, was Doeg. Doeg doesn't say anything, right? Doeg doesn't say anything. He's just there. We learn about that as you read through the story. But what is Doeg doing? He's gathering intelligence, gathering information. He's watching what David does. And at the right time, when he's right next to Saul, and Saul's like, "Is anybody going to help me? Does anybody feel sorry for me? Does anybody want to care for their king?" And Doeg's like, "I'm your man. I saw David over here." And what was the result? The result was the death of God's priests. You know, Doeg said, "Hey, I'll take care of it and I'll kill these guys," because they wouldn't tell on David. They knew. See, look, Israel, they knew that David was innocent. He was in the right. It's Saul that was the bad person here. Saul is out of line and Saul's asking for help. And it's always going to be people like Doeg that will help the unrighteous people out, like, you know, like Saul. Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. You know, and as I'm studying this out here and I'm reading this, and this just reminds me of what's going on today with this whole contact tracing thing. I keep hearing this over and over again, these contact tracers. There's jobs being promoted on Facebook and stuff. "Hey, did you lose your job? Why don't you come be a contact tracer?" Well, Jessica sent me this video about this lady, and she basically signed up to become a contact tracer, not because she wanted the job, but she just wanted to see what it was about. And she went through all of these online trainings, you know, from the people that are putting this on. And basically what she was saying is that the whole goal of this thing is basically to collect data from, you know, American citizens, citizens all over the world. And she was saying, so let's say you go and you get tested for the coronavirus, you test positive or, you know, something like that, they're going to immediately notify a contact tracer. And what this person's going to do is do research on you. Where do you live? Does your house look like it has sufficient room to quarantine you by yourself for X amount of time? And then do you have children? And guess what the next step is? To notify CPS. Yep. In case you can't, you see what I'm going, you see where this is all going? This is all, what we're doing is we're building a society of snitches, is what we're doing. And like I said, look, there's a time and there's a place to report bad behavior to the authorities in every situation, in church, at work, at home, between brothers and sisters, you know, but there's some things you gotta learn before you go and rat somebody out. And this whole contact tracing thing is just one more step to propel us to the New World Order. That's all it is. It's basically just a more power for Big Brother. That's all it is. But one thing she said that kept coming up over and over that just kept like pounding into her head was testing, tracing, and treatment. You know, testing, tracing, and treatment. And if you listen to the governors of this country talk, that's what they keep talking about. We need more testing. We need more testing. You know why they want more testing? It's so that they can snitch on you to the contact tracers. And then they could come to you and say, hey, who have you been into contact with in the last, 14 days? Right. And, oh, now I'm going to go contact all of these people and basically make you quarantine and self-isolate in your house, away from your wife, away from your kids, away from your job. And basically, they've got you. They own you, right? This whole thing is nothing but a snitch. But if you'll notice, what they're about is observation, about being nosy, about getting all in your business, right? That's what they do. That's why you're hearing about restaurants saying, hey, we're going to go ahead and take your information. We need to know who you are. We need your name. We need your driver's license. I don't know if that's happening around here yet. I'm hearing that it's happening in other states, though, and it may come here. But the whole goal of that is because somebody wants that information so that they can report it to these people. Why? So that they can take people's children, so that they can take your life, so that they can take your freedom, take your liberties. That's the whole goal. It's to destroy society. And that's what this lady's conclusion came to. She is like, you would have to just about be a monster to go ahead and go through with being a contact tracer. You're literally ruining people's lives. Yeah. Basically, they're training a society of Ziphites. They're training a bunch of Doeg the Edomites is what they're doing. You know, a lot of these gang members and stuff, you know, they hate snitches, right? Because, you know, oftentimes, you know, their buddies, they all get arrested for a drug deal or something. And then, you know, the prosecutor's like, hey, I'll give you a deal if you tell on this person. And, you know, it creates a lot of animosity naturally. Why? Because they betrayed that loyalty, you know. And it's just bad all around. And the whole CPS thing is what got me. You know, it's like, wow, okay. Now this is starting to make sense. This isn't about a virus. Look, I don't believe that the government has our best interests at heart. Right? They have their own skin, their own wealth, and their own images at the forefront of their mind. They don't care about life. Look, you can't tell me that a society that's just all for abortion, a government that's all for fornication, drunkenness, drug use, all this garbage, all this unrighteousness, you can't tell me that that society really cares enough about us and that this whole contact tracing thing isn't evil. That's not the case. Saul didn't care for David, and neither did the Ziphites that told on him. You know what? The U.S. government doesn't care for us, and neither do these contact tracers that they're establishing throughout the country. It's just another way to enslave humanity is what it is, just on a much bigger level. Now, you're there in 1 Samuel chapter 26. Look at verse number 1. And what you're going to see here is that snitches are often relentless. They almost, it's like once people get that habitual behavior, they never stop. Look at verse 1. It says, and the Ziphites, right? So after you're done reading in 1 Samuel 23, Saul takes a little break. He's got to go deal with the Philistines. And then, you know, Samuel dies and 1 Samuel chapter 25, and of course, he does pursue him a little bit in chapter 24, but you know, he keeps getting derailed by other things he has to do. And so now the Ziphites are like, okay, Saul's at a rest period, right? He's got a little break. We need to go get him back on track here. So look what they say. It says, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way, but David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. So notice what these guys are doing. They can't stop snitching, can they? It's just like all this stuff has gone on, there's a little bit of time that's passed by, and the Ziphites are like, okay, you know, we didn't get our pat on the back yet. Right? And what are they doing? They're still observing. They're still being nosy. They're watching where David goes. They haven't stopped. Saul's left off, right? He's had to go deal with other things. Obviously, he hasn't forgotten about David. But the Ziphites are like, no, we're going to make sure that we keep an eye on David. We know where he's at. And then when the time is right for us, we will tell on him. We will snitch on him. And we will try to help Saul kill him. Look, they don't care for Saul either. And that's something you need to understand about people that are snitches, people that you deal with at work. They don't care about the boss, they don't care about the company, and they certainly don't care about you. All they care about are themselves. And that's it. That's what their whole basis is. It's just self-elevation. They're just self-centered individuals, and they will stop at nothing to throw you under the bus to get what they want because they don't want to work for it. They don't want to put in the years. They don't want to put in that hard-earned, you know, dedication into learning and reading the processes and just knowing what's going on. Instead, it's easier just to chuck you under the bus and make you the bad guy. Turn to Psalm chapter 54. Psalm chapter 54. So point number one, the snitches are often very observant and nosy people. They want to know where you're at, what you're doing, why you're doing it. And we're going to see later on, if they can't find that information, they'll make it up. That's another little attribute about snitches. Now, point number two is this. Snitches oppress the people that they're around. You all know this. Anytime you're at work with a snitch or if you're, you know, your sibling's constantly telling on you, you are literally living in an oppressed state. You know, when I worked at the shipyard, there was this girl. And we called her the Beeve because her last name was Beaver. And she was notorious. I mean, the shipyard is pretty big, right? There's like 10,000 people that work there. And she was known by everyone. By everyone. All trades, office workers, like everyone knew her because she wore this really ridiculously big, long hat. You know, it was just like super long. It was longer, you know, like more, it had more diameter than a sombrero, basically. And she would put like cat pins on it. Just really a strange, strange individual, you know. And she would walk around and just walk real weird, you know, had these big, thick glasses on. Just a nightmare of a human being. But she would always be looking, she would never do any work. All she would do is walk around for things to report. She would go tell HR, hey, I saw this person doing this. Hey, I heard this person say this word. Just every single day. She did this for 10 years straight. Finally, in her 11th year, they gathered enough on her to get her fired. Okay? But she was a burden to that entire organization, like pretty much the whole time that I was there. Because I think by the time she got fired, like I was probably a couple years from leaving anyways. But I mean, if she got sent to your crew, I mean, it was just tensions were high. The boss was paranoid, coming into work sweating because he knew she was going to put him on the carpet. She was going to gather enough stuff that he was doing wrong to turn him in. And look, I don't care what your job is. There are times where you need to do some unsavory things. There's some times where, you know, you've got to make a choice. Do I follow the process here or do I maybe save an individual or you know, take a hit for the company, but maybe it's not the best, you know, choice regarding the process, something like that. You know, do I tell a lie, for example, and save somebody's, you know, backside because I don't want to see them fall? Or do I just report that person because that's what the process says? You know, sometimes you're going to get put in these gray area type situations. You're going to have to make a decision. And a snitch is somebody who's going to look at that and look for those opportunities and wait and see what you do and then go turn you in right away. But what she would do is just she would show up to work sometimes before everybody and just watch. You're late, she's telling on you. You don't put your safety glasses on, she's telling on you. I mean, she's looking around for everybody. Oh, I saw somebody in the dry dock with no earplugs on. Oh, I saw somebody without steel-toe boots. Oh, this person was late, and it was just constantly. But because of their own stupid policies, right, she was a woman, and I'm not downing on women, but the government has unfair and some pretty biased rules. So when a lady goes in there and they tell, they have no choice but to take it as this is gold, this is what happened, and we have to prove that we followed up. We can't ignore it. Now, if a dude goes and does that, they're usually like, get out of here, you know, suck it up and move on, that kind of stuff. But it's not like that with the ladies there. And so she just became a burden to everyone. But she was just oppressing everybody. Just that's what these people do. And I can show you that here in Psalm 54, because this psalm is written about the Ziphites from David. And you got to think about this. There's an entire psalm written about these people, about this situation. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the Ziphites really oppressed David, right? He's hiding in their woods, hiding in their backyard, and somehow they're gathering intelligence on him. They're finding out what he's doing, and they keep tattling on him. They keep snitching on him. And what that's done is basically oppress David. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." Verse 3, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them." So again, if the question ever comes to you, were the Ziphites a godly people? The answer is obviously no, they're oppressors. And this was written down for our admonitions, written down so that we could learn this. But David wrote this because of the experience that he had with the Ziphites. Now, let's see, you can leave your place there and go back to 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23. So point number 2 is snitches oppress people. And you say, well, how did you come to that conclusion? Well, that's exactly what David said. And you know what? I didn't even need to read this for you. If you've ever been around a snitch, you know that is true. They oppress you. They make you feel like that, just garbage. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to be around them because you just know they're going to cause grief for you. They're just going to tattle on you, just tell on you every chance they get. And you know what? These contact tracers, you know what they're going to become? They're going to become a burden to society because people are going to wake up and they're going to realize, okay, we've been had, you know, and now I got to watch out for these people. You know, when I used to work for the government, they had signs up all over the place. See something, say something. See something, say something, right? That's their motto. That's what they want. You know, they want to make sure that if they see you doing something bad, that you get reported. You know, I was reading that article again last night about the Ada County Dispatch. I think it was written on April 10th. So, it was, you know, obviously like a week or so after Governor Little, you know, tells us all to stay home, institutes a stay at home order. And there was like, I think in one day they had like 250 calls to 911, all people playing basketball, groups of 10 or more out on the street, playing soccer. Just, I mean, it's like, wow. You know, it's, you know, there's a proverb that's been spoken about the Treasure Valley, and it's Idaho's cold, but them snowflakes, man. And that is a true proverb. You know, it really is. It's like, what have we done to society? What happened to just, you know, taking things into your own hands? You know, I actually learned that when I was in the military, and thank God I was in there during the time that I was, because being a snitch was probably about one of the worst things you could possibly be. You know, and when you messed up, they would make sure and take it, you know, into another room privately and deal with it. You know, I remember this one kid, he kept messing up and kept messing up, and he got taken into a room and he got the snot beat out of him. He got worked hard. I mean, you could hear he got beat by like 4 or 5 different, you know, people of high rank, you know, to the point to where there was an investigation. And you know what? Not a single person told on him. Good. And you know what happened to that kid? He learned his lesson and he went on to become a good soldier. That's what happened. You know, and I'm not advocating beating people, but I'm just saying sometimes things need to be handled inside. We don't need to always go to the authorities and always go telling on people for doing stupid things. And you know what bothers me about this whole Ada County thing? And this is kind of personal to me, is because I have to go to these people's homes and fix their stuff. And guess what? They're waiting and they're watching everything that I do so that when I mess up, when I make a mistake, they're right away going ahead to call, you know, call my company and report me, you know. And that happened to me the other day too. Somebody called and turned me in. Now, luckily they had my back. They were like, no, actually you're the wrong. He did everything he could to try to help you out, but they just couldn't help it. You know, well, we watched him and it looked like he didn't know what he was doing, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, look, it takes time to put components on a control board. You know, when you're having to solder and unsolder components, that takes a while. You know, you're not familiar with that kind of trade. So it's like, it's going to look like maybe he doesn't know what he's doing, or like it's taking a long time, you know, but that their mentality was, well, you know, he's in the wrong. You know, so I'm just going to tell on you, and I'm going to go write a bad review on you, right? Isn't that what the sodomites do every time we get them upset? What do? They go right to Facebook and drop a dime, right? They're basically trying to let the community know, hey, these are bad people. These are horrible individuals, you know? Never mind the fact of what we do, right? They go straight to Google. Google, Yelp, these things are nothing but a bunch of snitch factories, man. That's really what they are. You know, you say, it's sad that, you know, that's the way society's become, but it is, you know? And for some companies, those platforms are nothing but oppression. Because that's what snitches are. But that Ada County thing, man, that's just nuts. Yeah, I mean, think about it. You got all these moms just looking out the window. Oh, I see five people playing soccer. Oh, they're playing, you know, Red Rover, come over, whatever that game's called, you know. Oh, we're going to turn these little 10-year-old kids in for sitting down and, you know, playing a game. They're playing Hungry Hungry Hippos. Let's call the cops on them. Yeah. You know, and the police were like, you know, we need to, like, do something here and educate. These aren't emergencies. We can't be running around and writing people tickets just because they're standing too close to each other. But who knows? Is that the way it's going to play out? You know, the one way you're going to find out is when you start to see people and organizations wanting to gather information about you. And look, right now, there are tons, and I mean tons of companies that are coming to the government and petitioning them and saying, hey, we've developed this bracelet, we've developed this tracking device to where we can place it on people, and we can tell whether or not they've come within 6 feet of somebody or whether or not they've come, you know, with somebody who's ever had the virus, rather, you know. What are those? Those are nothing but snitch factories. Right, just right. A snitch company, you know? When I worked for the government, and I got a lot of stories about this, there was a period in between 2009 and 2010 where they put this white transponder in our hard hats. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but it would track when you went on to the ship, when you came off, when you went into the dry dock, and when you came off. What are they trying to do? They're trying to track their productivity, right? The problem is with the nature of our job, we had to go on and off all the time, right? So after like 2 days of wearing this thing, they took us into this dark room, right? And they're like, you guys aren't doing your jobs. We've got this data here, and you guys go on the boat for like 5 minutes, and then you come off, and you go into the dry dock, and then you come off, and then we don't see you again for like an hour. But that's just how our job is, right? They never decided to think and say, oh, well, maybe we had better study how these people operate, you know, because we have to go to the shop and make stuff and fit things up and then come back. You know, it's not like certain trades like painters or other pipe fitters or welders where they go onto the boat, they perform a job, they're there all day. Right. That's not how we were. But what they would do is they would tell the commanders and just basically get us in trouble. So what we did is we took them off and we put them on the boat and just left them there all day. And no joke, a week later, they were like, you guys have really done a 180. You guys have turned around. You know, we're going to basically, they gave us like money on our checks and stuff, bonus money. They were like, this is stupid. But sometimes that's how you got to play the game. You know, people that just won't listen, and I'm getting way off track here. All right. So point number two is snitches oppress the people that they are around. That's what they do. They don't bring anything of value. They're not gonna give you anything to learn from other than how to avoid them. They're not gonna contribute anything to the team. All they are is a giant oppression. So point number three is this. Snitches are motivated by the desire of payoff over loyalty. Snitches are motivated by the desire of payoff over loyalty. Look at verse 21 here. This is Saul's response to the Ziphites. It says in 1 Samuel 23:21, it says, and Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. And that word haunt there, you know, you can still find that in use today in modern publications. It just means a frequent abode. So Saul's just like, hey, find out where his haunt is. Find out where he's frequently coming back to. Because it was hard for him to figure out, because 1 minute David's over here, next minute he's over here. He's not staying in one spot for too long. He's in the ravines. He's in the wilderness. He's hiding out. And so David's wanting the Ziphites to get to pinpoint where he frequently abode, so he's got a better opportunity and a better chance of actually getting David and killing him. So look at the response, though, of Saul. You know, what is he saying? Hey, blessed are ye. He's giving them recognition. That's what they want. They want to be the top dog. They want to be number one. They want to be lifted up. And that's what snitches want. A lot of times, if it's not money, if it's not a promotion, they at least want the recognition, right? And one of the best ways that they can do it, especially if you're working for a guy like Saul, and by the way, that never makes your job easier, when you have a boss that's like Saul that'll just listen to these people, and that's a whole nother sermon in and of itself, right? you know, it just makes things extremely difficult. But one of the things these people will do is just throw you under the bus just to get a pat on the back, just to get that attaboy, you know, just to get that, hey, blessed are you. You obviously care about me. That means a lot to these people. Right? Because it's too much to go out of the way and actually do something good for the kingdom, maybe go fight a battle or maybe just worry about their own little community and build that up to make, you know, this a better place. Instead of doing that, they're like, no, we got a shortcut here. We could just chuck David under the bus and keep, you know, going to Saul because we see that's what Saul wants. you know, and we'll just go to him and present him with this idea, and then that'll get us our pat on the back. That'll get us our recognition, and that's what snitches do. Look at verse 23. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain of the south of Jeshimon. So there you have it. Obviously, God is taking care of David. And, you know, what I learned from this is that we need God's help. Yeah. We need God's help to protect us from these types of people because they're everywhere. And let's face it, you know, it's bad enough just being a regular old person just in the world and going to work. But when you're an independent fundamental Baptist, you're just a Bible-believing Christian and you're at work, guess what? Now the Spirit of God's on you. Right. You're going to get help. You're going to get that promotion, which comes from God, the Bible says, especially to his people. Now, guess what? Now you're going to have the envious coming after you. Right. You will have that. You have to deal with that. But you got to understand it's God that dealeth. It's God that takes care of you. Right. Yes, they're going to come after you, and you have to know that, right? David understood that, but he never looked at God and said, why are you allowing these people to come after me? I'm so angry. I'm going to quit and just live in the world. That wasn't his attitude, and that's not the right way to go about dealing with this. You learn about these people, you understand how they operate, and then you go to God for the help, and that's how you're going to defeat a snitch. Amen. Because let's face it, the odds are stacked against you, right. You know, in a physical sense, right? Because, you know, you've got the king of Israel coming after you, and now you've got a nation of Ziphites coming after you, and they know where you're at. You know it? And when you're at work, or, you know, you're, let's say, you're the only one that's saved in your family, and you can't get out, maybe you're, you know, your other family members are kind of like Saul. You know, the odds are stacked against you. The only person that's going to help you is God. It's the only way out. Look at verse 25. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. So David obviously escapes here, and God is continuously helping him out. Now turn to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. And so I said, point number 3 here, snitches are motivated by the desire of payoff over loyalty. They're not interested in being loyal to the cause. They're not loyal to the company. They're not loyal to their siblings. They're not loyal to their friends. They're only loyal to themselves and their image. And that's it. And this is why if you look at the highest levels of a lot of these Fortune 500 companies and you look at their CEOs, a lot of them are very wicked people. And, you know, I hate to say it, but some of those people got to that position by throwing people under the bus, just by steamrolling people. You know, I mean, look at Bill Gates. Why do you think he got that pie in the face? You guys have seen that? It's because he's kind of got this mentality. He's got this snitch mentality, you know, and what does he want to do? He wants to throw everyone under the bus in the world that doesn't take his vaccine. It's like, how do you go from developing software to being concerned what I inject into my body? Right. You know, don't tell me that he cares about my health, because I don't buy that for a second. So again, they desire the carnal reward over any kind of loyalty. They're not interested in protecting life. They're not interested in protecting anything. They're about hurting other people's reputations to lift themselves up. Right. And that's the way that our culture is being molded right now, to make us look like, oh, you didn't take the vaccine. You didn't give up your information so that you could, you know, get contacted by a contact tracer. So you're the problem. You're the enemy. And then they just basically turn society after you. But what I want to show you this here is the same thing happened to Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 here. We're going to go through some of these verses here. Look at verse number 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So right now what you have is you have Darius trying to establish a very good and hopefully honest leadership base here. Now the problem is, and this is a good problem, is that Daniel has an excellent spirit about him. Right? And you could put yourself into Daniel's position. You're a Bible-believing Christian. You're following what God says. You're doing what you need to do. And you're taking that attitude into the workforce. You're taking it into your family. You're taking it into the community. Now you got to understand what's going to happen, as the snitches are probably going to come after you. But what it should be like is they should all be able to just work together and make this kingdom thrive. I don't believe that this Darius here was a super wicked person. I believe he's probably better than Donald Trump, to be honest with you. You know, because he actually does care about Daniel. Yeah. You know, show me a politician today that really cares about Christians.
Right.
You know, most of them, they'll say they do, but they really don't. And you can tell by the things that they sign into law and so on and so forth. And you know that's another topic for definitely for another day. But if you look at verse 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, these other princes and these other presidents, they should have looked at Daniel for inspiration. They should have looked at that and said, wow, you know, I like that. I'd like to become that. You know, if we were all maybe just would level up and be like Daniel, this kingdom could be even better. But oh no, they don't care about the kingdom. All they care about are their own reputations. Look at verse 4. It says this, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. And this is what I was talking about earlier. Right. If they can't find the occasion against you, because what do? They watch and they observe you. Right. And the next thing is the sucker punch. They go and tell on you. They drop that dime. They snitch on you. Now, if they can't find anything against you, guess what? They're going to make it up. They're going to make it up. And then they're going to go tell the boss. That's exactly what these guys decide to do here. Look at verse 5. It says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Another hallmark of a snitch is that they love to butter people up, man. They're also often suck-ups. Yep. I think I've told you the story before. I worked with this guy, and he was kind of a snitch. Not quite as bad as he is these days from what I hear, but you'd be working with him. I remember working with him on an aircraft carrier. We were on the second deck. We were running this big, long vent system, and this dude disappears for like 45 minutes. And he comes back, and he's got a bag of McDonald's. Like, you want a breakfast sandwich? I'm like, dude, where did you go? And he's like, we'll get something to eat, man. You know, I'm like, we're almost done. I don't want the breakfast sandwich. You know, I didn't go tell on him because I don't care. I'm only there to make the job go smooth and to just do my work and go home. You know, that's my goal. I'm not trying to lift myself up above other people by telling on them. But I could have, and I could have got him in trouble. But you know what he does? He goes right to the boss right away. And he's like, oh, sir, look at all the stuff that we did. Would you like to come on board and see what we just finished? While we're all tying everything up, right? And so he would, you know, take the boss by the hand. They'd go up there and look at what we did here. Can we approve on anything? And by the time we're done wrapping everything up, we come back and he's gotten all the praise and glory. But you know what? That guy never got promoted over me because I serve the living God. And, you know, I decided at one point in my life, I'm going to make sure that an excellent spirit is inside me and take that to work. And I'm not going to let these politics bog me down. You know what? If you do the same thing, you will always be able to destroy the snitch types. They will never get one over on you. Never. So verse 6, it says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And so this king's like, yeah, man, sounds pretty good. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. So understand this about Daniel. All right, because we're going to be able to learn something from this. He knows. He has knowledge of what's going on. Now he realizes, okay, I definitely can't trust these people here. They just made this law. And look what he does in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So he's like, look, I'm not going to let this bother me here. I'm going to keep on marching on, and we're going to come back to that here in a minute. But he's like, I'm going to keep doing what I need to do because an excellent spirit is in him. So what we're reading about Daniel means we need to follow his example, right? Because he has the right spirit. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. But you can see all the points that I've given you up to this time, right? They're obviously an oppression unto Daniel. They've obviously been observing him, and they've been taking knowledge of him, and they've been nosing, and they've been in his business because they've been trying to find him doing something wrong. And when they couldn't, they had enough knowledge about him to say, oh, this is how we can get him, because if we create a law that goes against, you know, God and the country that we're in, you know, and we can get the king to sign off on it, then yeah, we'll be able to trap Daniel and basically turn him into lunch for the lions. Look at verse 12. It says, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, say thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And so you got to see, it was pretty clever how they set this petition up, right? Because it's going to go bad for Daniel here. But look at verse 13. It says, then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. So notice the first thing that they do when they're going to snitch. Again, what they do, they butter him up. Right? They're like, this is an attack against you personally, Darius. Look at the verse. It says, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah regardeth not thee. So he's like, hey, Daniel doesn't regard you as a person. He doesn't respect your authority. And that's exactly the way snitches will go to the authorities. Oftentimes they'll say, hey, he doesn't care about this company. He just cares about his Bible thumping, and he's trying to spread hate and spread this and say this. And that's how they put it forth. All right, look at the rest of the verse. It says, nor the decree that thou hast signed. So they'll often come to you, your boss, and say, oh, he doesn't care about you. He's got no respect for you as a leader. And he doesn't care about our policies and our community standards, right? He doesn't care about any of that stuff. She doesn't care about any of that stuff. And, you know, now Darius doesn't get mad and like, oh, I want to kill him. He's actually sad. Like, oh, man, I actually signed this stupid decree. Now I've got to go forth with it. But it says, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased within himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. You know, so again, I don't believe that, I'm not saying Darius was saved, I don't know, but he's not really a bad dude here. It's these other people that he appointed to be presidents, to be leaders in the nation, right? They're the bad ones. They're willing to betray somebody who's literally innocent to gain recognition because they don't like the favor that he's gotten. And it's not because he was born with better genetics or better this or better that or the silver spoon. It's because he had an excellent spirit in him. And as a believer, you go to work, you leave these walls here like you do every week. I know you got an excellent spirit in you. And you know what? People are going to come after you from time to time, and they're going to want to destroy you. They're going to snitch on you. They're going to tell on you. They're going to drop a dime on you. And we have to learn how to deal with that. So we're going to move on here. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. So what I want to do now is I want to talk about how to deal with these people. Because we learn kind of how they operate. You know, it really is an art. They really go through great lengths to observe, to get into your business, and they create the perfect scenario to oppress you, to make you afraid, to make you walk on eggshells, and then they got you. Then they come at you. And it's frustrating. And, you know, there's a great temptation to want to hop in the flesh and just deal with these people and just, you know what I mean? You just want to slam them up against the wall. And, like, I'm not being violent, but it's true. Everybody who's dealt with a snitch, you know that. Why do you think brothers and sisters fight a lot of times? It's because they're tattling on each other, right? He stole the cookie. Well, it's because he got to it before you did. That's why you're telling on him, right? It's not because you care about the innocence of the poor cookie, right? It's because... So I got four things here on how to deal with these people. And the first thing is this. Don't talk with them unless absolutely necessary. Now, obviously, on a family level, this needs to be treated differently. And I'll talk about that in a future sermon, right? Brothers and sisters, they're going to go through phases where they're just telling each other all the time. And the end of the sermon, I'm going to have something for you. And you're going to be able to apply this and hopefully rid that if that's something you struggle with, like Caden. But I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. Dude, I'm just teasing you. But number one is this. Don't talk with them unless absolutely necessary. Remember that woman I told you about that we used to work with, that she was just oppressing everybody, just always telling, always going to the authorities? We would often, before she would come anywhere near our vicinity, we would literally have an official briefing on how to deal with her. Seriously, I'm talking people that make $250,000 a year in a room with you saying, all right, look, here's what you're going to do. Here's how we're going to treat her. We're going to basically, we would try to orchestrate where she could go, where she couldn't go, how much she knew. I mean, it was weird because they were that scared of her. Can you imagine that? Somebody making $500,000 a year, right? A person that hangs out with admirals and just top brass, scared to death of this bizarre looking woman that always wanted to talk about her cats and smelt like urine. I mean, this woman was nasty, nasty, nasty. And these dudes are afraid. You make $500,000 a year. You have pull, you have power. And you're scared of this little girl here because she's gonna tell on you. She's gonna snitch on you. And another thing that makes this funny is if you know anything about the government, they're always doing shady stuff, no matter what level it is, okay? If you work for the government, I don't care if it's state level, federal level like I did, there's some shady stuff going on. And that's why they're paranoid. They don't want somebody like this finding out, like, hey, you know, they've got the stuff going on over here, you know, and she goes and tells everybody, you know, or she goes and tells a reporter or something like that. So, but number one is don't talk with them unless absolutely necessary. So you say, how do I handle this person that's always telling on me, that's always telling on everyone? And number one, don't talk with them unless absolutely necessary. Because there's a temptation out there for people to try and befriend them. They think, well, I don't know how to deal with them, so I'll try to get on their good side. Look, it's not going to help you. It's going to only destroy you. I'll show you that here. Psalm 1:1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Right? I mean, that speaks volumes right there. As God's children, we have no business dealing with somebody like that. Because look, a snitch is an ungodly person. It's somebody who's only after their own reputation and their own influence. That's it. So don't try to befriend them. Don't try to learn their ways and get on their good side, because it's only going to come back to bite you. They will stop at nothing for themselves. They are not going to help you out. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. And while you're turning there, I'll read for you 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, which says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Right? A lot of people say, well, I can change him. Maybe I'll take one for the team, and I'll befriend this person. I'll try to bring him on. And look, by the time a person's a habitual snitch, I mean, you're going to have to, like, make sure you get that person saved. And they're going to have to get chastised by God for a few months probably before they're going to change. All I'm saying is, look, the odds are they're not changing, right? They've gotten where they're at in life by chucking people under the bus. It's what works for them. It's what pays the bills. And who do you think you are? You're going to stop them, you know, by your sweet talk or whatever. Be not deceived. Their communications are just going to corrupt you. Proverbs 13, look at verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I'll tell you what, somebody who would just betray somebody who's innocent for their own glory is nothing but a fool. And by you thinking, okay, well, I can rectify the situation just by hanging out with them and befriending them is only going to destroy you. It's not going to help you out. You don't have to turn there. Turn to Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Now, Proverbs 10:10. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. That's our memory verse for the week. And you know what these snitches often do? They wink with the eye. And what's point number two? They cause oppression, right? They'll be like, I got your back. Don't worry. You know, you come over here. Hey, what do you think about this person? I actually had that happen to me one time. This guy came up to me and he said, hey, what do you think about this girl here? Unfortunately, at the time of my life, I wasn't really, you know, the best Christian in the world. Neither am I now. But I said, you know, I think she's a skank and a hoe and all this stuff. And I said, basically, she can go to hell. That's what I think. I think she's lazy. I think she sucks. I think she needs to get fired. I said all this stuff. And he's like, oh, man. You know, he's like patting me on the back. Man, that's cool. That's exactly what I think, too, man. He's like, that's what everybody's saying. He runs right upstairs, man. He turns into Usain Bolt, an Olympic sprinter. I mean, he's chugging them stairs, man. He gets up there. You can guess what Joe said. And guess what? I get suspended for a day without pay. But luckily, God had mercy on me and put me on another shift. I wound up getting a promotion like the next week. I got sent to San Diego for money. I got paid all kinds of money. So I got it all back because what I said was true. You know what I mean? But this guy did me dirty. Oh, and this guy was a Christian too. I go to Life Church. I go to Life Church. So, yeah, your new event, you want to know why I'm mad at new evangelicals? Because they produce people like that.
Yeah.
That's why. You know, a guy cost me a day without pay. And I remember I went up to him and was like, hey, man, just so you know, I got promoted. I got this. I got that. I said, what do you think about that? And he's like, oh, I didn't say nothing, man. It was not like that, man. It's not like that. Yeah, it is like that. You told on me.
Yeah.
You dropped a dime on me. You winketh with the eye. You caused me a little bit of sorrow, but God got my back anyways. Right. And that's what they do. You know, they'll wink with their eye. They'll pretend they're on your side. Yeah. They want you to get you to drop your guard. Right? Once you drop them hands down too low, bam, they got you. You know, so just be careful. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Proverbs 12. Here's point number two. Don't retaliate by trying to throw them under the bus.
Good.
Right? Don't be like them. Don't be like trying to, okay, I'm going to stop working hard. You know, I'm going to stop doing all these things. I'm just going to watch this person until I get them. Don't do that. I know it's tempting. And I'm not saying there won't be a time where you can do that. But don't make that your goal. That's not the way to deal with these types of people. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. And we want to be a prudent people. A prudent person is somebody who looks well to his going, right? You need to think beyond. You need to think about the coming weeks, the coming months, and the ramifications of what you are about to do. And one thing that's true, look, somebody at your place of employment knows that this is a snitch. But they might be prudent. They might just be waiting for that right opportunity to get rid of this person. I'll bet you after the coronavirus, a lot of people that lay people off, you know what? I bet a lot of decisions were made to lay people off that are snitches, people that are just dime droppers. I'm not saying that happened across the board, but that would be a good time to do it. And I bet you, you know, there are those situations out there. But a fool's wrath is presently known. Somebody knows about this fool's behavior, and they're just waiting for the correct time to do it. Because if you go around and you play their game, now you're a snitch. Now you're going to have the same attributes that they have, and it's not going to do you any good. You're not going to be able to beat them that way. Proverbs 30, verse 10 says this, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. Right? Accuse not a servant unto his master. Look, that's a commandment from the Bible. We shouldn't be the accusers. Who does the Bible say is the accuser of the brethren? The devil. That is an attribute of Satan, and we don't want to be like that. I'd rather be that prudent person that covers shame. Kind of like McDonald's boy, how I just talked about him a little while ago. Right? Going to McDonald's in the middle of a job is shame. Right? You could wait till lunch, which I think was like an hour and a half from that time that we were done with that. I just covered it. Just, you know what? I don't want to even mess with this stuff right now. I don't care what you do. And you know what? God rewards that type of behavior. When you learn to just cover shame, cover other people's stuff, don't play their game, right? Ephesians 4:15. You guys turn back to Daniel. Go back to Daniel chapter 6. Here's one more verse on that. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So as God's people, we are to speak the truth. There is a time to report bad behavior to the authorities. Not going to lie. Somebody's doing something to hurt the company, hurt your family. I mean, think about Mordecai. What he did, reporting the evil plot to kill the king and to cause all this disruption, that was a righteous thing that he did. But it was motivated by love for the right things. You see what I'm saying? So before you're going to go and tell on somebody, before you're going to go and tattle on somebody, what is your motivation for doing so? That's the difference. That's the difference between a snitch and somebody who just reports something that's bad. Okay? But speaking the truth in love. We need to make sure if we're going to speak the truth, that it's in love. Because you know what? Snitches, you know, basically they're just doing nothing but violating confidence that they built with people. They're betrayers. That's what they are. You know, just a conflict of interest. And number three is this, never back down. Don't ever back down from a snitch. Here's what I mean. So if they set you up, and you know this, never back down, never be afraid of these people. Just like Daniel, look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. So what happened to Daniel shortly after this? He went where? To the lion's den, right. And what happened in that lion's den? God delivered him. So what will happen to us if we don't play the snitch's game? We might go to the lion's den, but God's going to deliver us every single time. So never back down. Don't be like, okay, well, I can't read my Bible on break time because now he knows I go to Shield of Faith Baptist Church and they hate queers and I'm going to get in trouble. No, that's not how you do it. You don't back down from a snitch. That's the whole goal, is to shut us up. The goal of these presidents was to shut Daniel down. They didn't like the excellent spirit that was in him. And instead of looking to him and saying, hey, why don't we try to get the same thing? I mean, think about how great that kingdom would have been. How much more righteous that nation would have been if they just decided to become like Daniel. That's all they had to do. But no, they decided, you know, we're going to chop this thing off at the knees and we're just going to just try to get rid of Daniel. And then we'll get the reputation, we'll get the glory, we'll get the promotion. That's how the world thinks. I hate to break it to you, but that's how the world thinks. And that's how a lot of people in this world operate. So real quick recap here is number one, don't talk with these people unless it's absolutely necessary. Don't share personal information. Don't try to befriend them. Business only. And be very careful about that business as well. And if you can, try to make sure there's always somebody else with you. I've had a boss before that was a snitch. Snitched to other bosses. And what I learned to do is I carry this notepad with me in my pocket and a pen. And anytime that guy would say something, I'd make it a point to pull that thing out in front of him. Hold on, hold on. I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute, man. Let me write this down. And I'll write it down and repeat it back to him. And he didn't like that. He'd be like, oh, you need to just take it one time. I was like, no, that's not how this goes. Because I don't understand, and you need to make sure this instruction is clear. I don't understand what you're saying right now. And then he could no longer do that to me. And then other people that I work with, they learned to do that. And you know what? He wound up moving on somewhere else. So I'm just saying, don't trust these people. You know, you can hold them accountable politely, like I did. So don't talk with them unless it's absolutely necessary. Try to have a witness around you. And then don't retaliate by trying to do the same thing that they do, by throwing them under the bus, right? We don't want to be an accuser like they are. And then number three, don't ever back down from them. Just keep doing the right thing, even if it's going to get you in trouble. It's the right thing because God's the one that will deliver us. Go to Esther chapter 2 real quick. Esther chapter 2. So one more time. The key to understanding when it's okay to snitch or tell on somebody boils down to the heart. It boils down to the motivation. What is your reason? So before you go and tell on somebody, you need to ask yourself, what is the reason? Why am I doing this? Why am I reporting this person for not following a procedure at work? Why am I telling on my brother? Why am I telling on my sister? Is it out of love? Is it because I want to help this person? Is it because this is destructive behavior? Or is it because I'm trying to look good in the eyes of somebody else? And be honest with yourself and ask yourself that question. And if it's because you want, you know, some recognition or glory, you got to stop doing that. It's not right. I mean, think about it. You know, think about the children of Israel or the midwives in Exodus chapter number 1. Did God reward them? Yeah, because why? They saved the lives of the male children. Like some people, especially atheists, they love to take that verse and, oh, well, they lied. And the Bible says again, you shouldn't lie. And so there's a contradiction in the Bible. Look, it's okay. Don't you think it's okay to lie to save someone's life? Amen. It's like, shut up. You would do the same thing, Captain Atheist. You would do the same thing to save your own skin. You would lie, right? But they don't ever want to talk about that, do they? They don't ever want to talk about that. So it's obvious just from reading the Bible that God rewards the motive. He rewards it. You say, well, it's wrong to lie. I can't lie. You're going to have to die. No. Look, learn to think subjectively and save some lives. Right. Protect the innocent. Let's say you're at a job, right? And you've been there for a while. You're vetted. You're seasoned. Somebody new comes in and they start making mistakes. They're just not picking it up right. You know, don't be like throwing them under the bus. You know, be a prudent person and cover that shame and help that guy out. You know, because he might thank you for it later on. You never know what you could do to that person's heart. You know, you never know what kind of effect that's going to have on that individual if you just cover that shame. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Something a snitch never realizes. You know, they come into situations all the time where power is in their hand to do good. And they always choose to do the opposite because they care about themselves. And that's it. So real quick, let's take a look at Mordecai here. Look at Esther chapter 2, verse 19. It says, and when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. a little bit about her character there. Verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. Verse 22. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. Now, this just goes to show you the character of Mordecai. He's obviously a picture of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Mordecai understood that, you know, Ahasuerus, he's not Jew. He's not a Jewish guy. But he also understood he's not a terrible, you know, super-duper wicked guy. Right? And he's in captivity. I mean, you know, a lot of people, like Shimei, who cursed David in the way, probably would have been like, yeah, let's kill the king. But Mordecai's got some integrity here. He's like, no, this is the king. This is his kingdom. We're here. God wants us in the captivity. I'm going to do my part and actually protect the king and report this issue. So his motivation for reporting this issue was out of love for righteousness and what is right. You see, a snitch is the total opposite, right? It's like Saul. What was his motivation for trying to kill David? What were the Ziphites' motivation for trying to throw David under the bus? Self-glorification. Okay, verse 23, and when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. And so, you know what? That's really what this all boils down to. You know, how do you deal with a snitch? How do you recognize their behavior? Is it really an art that they have on how they operate? Yeah, it is an art, you know? And, you know, telling on people really just boils down to the motives. You know, are you trying to protect the innocent? Are you trying to protect what's right or not? And if not, then you might want to reconsider tattling on somebody, you know, because it works. I'll be honest with you, it works. A lot of these people get up the ranks for snitching on people. It has value. It does sometimes work. And so when they see that, they're like, this is it, man. I'm sticking with this. I like my paycheck now. I've trampled a lot of people to get that way, and they're not going to change. But it all boils down to the heart, right? But all of us, every single one of us, are going to get into situations where we have the opportunity to tell on somebody. And all I'm saying is you need to ask yourself, what is my motivation for telling on this person? Is it to do what is godly and morally right? Or is it to lift up myself? And this is something siblings need to take to heart and really, truly, honestly understand. Yes, it's wrong to be snatching cookies when mom's not looking. I understand that, right? But how do you look at that situation? You know, you have an opportunity for mentorship there. You have an opportunity to be prudent and cover that shame and gain the trust of your brother, gain the trust of your sister, gain the trust of your coworker, right? And gain the trust of your brother. That's why in Matthew 18, you know, little offenses between the brethren, you're supposed to go to each other to handle it first, right? Instead of just going straight to the authorities, right? That's what it all boils down to. What is your heart? What's inside your heart? You know, we need to ask ourselves that before we go reporting something. What is my motivation in doing so? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church. I just pray you bless soul winning after the service, Lord, the fellowship and the evening service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.